Let's start by reading a passage of scripture together. One of my favorite passages of scripture, a passage of scripture that has changed things for me in my life. Some of you may have heard me talk about this passage before. It really changed things for me a number of years ago. And so if you've been in the church for a number of years, you've seen some of this already. But here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Here's what it says. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Let's pray. God, we look to you right now. We open our hearts. We sit on the edge of our seats and lean in to your very word, God, asking for you to move and you to do the things that only you can do. Challenge us, change us, move us forward, oh God. Get a hold of us, Lord. We submit ourselves to you and truly just ask for you to speak. And it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, elbow somebody nice and hard and have a seat. Oh, wow. I saw a mom over here like a poof, and the kid went, whoa, just flying over. That was a little harsh. All right. What we just read, three verses from a book of the Bible called 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is a letter that was written by a man named Paul. Paul traveled around after Jesus has left earth, died, crucified, raised from the dead, leaves earth, and Paul begins to go on these things called missionary journeys where he's traveling into all sorts of places that have never heard of Jesus. And what he does is he would start a church in those places, and then he would go back to a different place. He would write a letter to these people instructing them. And we have at least 13 of those letters in our Bible, letters that he wrote to churches, letters that he wrote to individuals. There's a couple books of the Bible, even I say at least 13, because there's a couple more that are kind of like maybe that was him. This book that we have, Timothy, 1 Timothy, it says first because there's a second one as well in the Bible, is a letter that he wrote to a man named Timothy, a young leader in a city called Ephesus, massive hub. They had this incredible church that started. Tons of people begin to turn to Jesus, and they begin to have a lot of people there. And he writes this letter to Timothy, who in a way is kind of leading this church, leading these people, kind of like an ancient day pastor, but his roles would have been a little bit different. And towards the end of this letter, Paul gives Timothy these instructions about how to deal with the wealthy people that have come to know Jesus. In that city, there would have been a massive divide between the extreme poor and the extreme rich. An ancient thing, still true all over the world in situations like that. And so he's like, to those who are rich, tell them this, teach them this. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on these three verses. We're going to know them forwards and backwards. And I believe, like, as we open ourselves up to what God may want to say to us, I think God is going to use these three verses in a powerful way to change many things in our lives and our situations and all of that. Okay, we're simply titling this message or this series, Be Rich. Be Rich. And I could not be more excited to study this with you, okay? Today, we are going to look at the first seven words of this verse. Seven words. Turn to the person next to you and say, I like it when the sermon is only seven words. Okay. Now turn back to them and say, I didn't mean that. Those words are hurtful. Yeah, there we go. All right, so seven words. Teach those who are rich in this world. Teach those who are rich in this world. That is as far as we are getting today. Why? Because if we don't see ourselves as rich, then whatever follows that statement really gets kind of thrown out and labeled for somebody else. Would you agree? That for us to go past this, we have to say, oh, this is relevant to me. Okay? Now, I went to college downtown Minneapolis. This was a long time ago. If you didn't know this, I am 40 years old. And yeah, that's super old. And so I was in college downtown Minneapolis. One of my roommates in college worked as a bellman at a place called the Hyatt Regency. The Hyatt Regency, if you don't know what that is, it's this super fancy, expensive, high-end hotel. And his job was basically to carry people's luggage from their cars up to their room. And all sorts of wealthy people, famous people would stay there, even like football teams, you know, who are coming to play the Vikings would stay in his hotel. He would carry their luggage from the car or whatever all the way up, and then they would tip him for carrying the, and he made like major bank for a college kid carrying the luggage of wealthy people. It was a sweet gig. None of that mattered to me as his roommate, but what did matter is that he was able to get free rooms in these luxury hotels and condos all over the United States. Oh, it was fantastic. And I'm not sure if it was spring break or what it was, but one year we took a trip, there was like four of us, all the way out to the West Coast, and we spent some time in San Diego and Los Angeles. Like we left the luxury of our dorm room, which had thrift store couches. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That you could never get the smell out of, all right? And we had beds stacked three high on cinder blocks. I kid you not, doesn't sound very safe, and it wasn't, but we did it, all right? And we found ourselves, we moved from that, left that in this five-star luxury condo overlooking the ocean. It came with this special pass to this floor, a secret floor. It was not like, and we were able to go to this floor, and it had nothing but food, 24 hours a day, massive amounts of food everywhere all over the place. We ate amazing food. We hung out at the beach. We went and visited famous places. It was super memorable. But one of the things that I remember about that trip was our walk down a street that is known as Rodeo Drive. Any of you ever heard of that? Okay, it's right in Beverly Hills. You're like, yeah, I used to live there. No, you didn't. Okay, you did not. And the memorable part of Rodeo Drive was not the luxury shops that were on each side. We didn't really care that much about that, but it was the cars parked in front of the luxury shops. Like, I remember thinking, we are no longer in Kansas anymore. And I'm not even from Kansas. That's a quote from, okay. But we had officially left the land of Chevys and Fords and entered the land of Ferraris and Lamborghinis, all right? One after another, like cars that cost more than our houses back in Minnesota. Seriously, it was amazing. And I remember this guy, we're standing on the sidewalk, and this guy drives up in this green Lamborghini, and he parks right in front of us, and his doors start opening like, okay? It's crazy. They go up, and it's like, what is this thing? And he gets out, and he's got the, and he walks, and we're waiting for him to leave, and he leaves. And we start taking pictures, like we're staging it, like this is my car, you know, and all that. Like, it was something special. It was a memorable day, a memorable experience. But I think we would all agree that someone who can buy a $250,000 car is rich, right? Lift up your hand and say, they've got to be rich to buy a car like that. But here's where it gets difficult. The word rich is actually quite difficult to define, isn't it? Like, and the dictionary definition doesn't really help. It just says having a great deal of money. And the word wealth, defined as an abundance of valuable material possessions or resources. But like, good grief, what exactly is a great deal of money? And what exactly is an abundance of material possessions? It's this moving line. We could call it the rich line. I think rich is over here, but somebody else thinks rich is over here. Is this person rich? I don't know, but that person for sure is. And we're like, how much money is rich? How many possessions is rich? It's this moving line, and it's very difficult to defined. But here's what I've found. Because of this moving rich line, almost nobody thinks of themselves as rich. In fact, a couple years ago, a well-known research company known as Gallup Polls, they did a study to see how different socioeconomic groups define the word rich. And not surprising, like everybody had a different definition of this word rich, to which nobody thought they fit in. But here's what they found. For the average person, rich was roughly double the amount possessed by the person defining it. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay? In other words, when they interviewed people who earned $30,000 a year, that group defined rich as someone who about made $60,000 a year. When they interviewed people who earned $50,000, the magic number seemed to grow to $100,000, and somebody who owned a $250,000 house, like they looked at someone with a $500,000 house and they thought that person is rich. And as I was looking at this and thinking about this, like there's a couple conclusions that I came to. First, it really felt like no matter how much money we make or how much we have, more than likely we never really consider ourselves to be rich or wealthy. And second, I think we can make this conclusion: a person can be rich and not know it. That's kind of an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? A person can be rich and not know it. I'll say it in a different way to kind of begin to point the finger inwards at ourselves for a moment. You could be rich and not know it. You could be wealthy and not know it. And that's exactly what I believe is happening with most of us here today and most of us watching this online. And this matters so greatly to our study. It matters so greatly to what we're going to be talking about over the next week. And in fact, this series really hinges on the you and I admitting to ourselves that we are, in fact, rich. Okay, if you leave today believing that you are not rich, then you will simply not look at our passage of Scripture in a way that opens up our heart to hear from God. Why? Because it starts with to those who are rich. So give me a few minutes to unashamedly, bluntly attempt to convince you that you are rich. Are you ready for this? Because some of you are like, dude, I ain't rich. I'm not. Here we go. You are rich. Every single one of you, all of us. How do I know? Well, first, because you have rich people opportunities. Okay, listen to this. Things that we don't even think about, things that we completely take for granted. If you want a drink of water, what do? We simply walk over to one of the multiple magic areas of our home, where we flip on a little lever and clean, healthy, drinkable water comes pouring out as much as we want, whenever we want. We don't even think about that. Understand, that is a rich person thing. If we are sick, if one of our children are sick, we simply make a phone call, we set up an appointment to go see a doctor. Or if it's serious, what do? We get in the car, we drive to the hospital, and immediately have access to medical care in a safe and sanitized facility filled with the latest technology and doctors and nurses with experience and training. Understand, those are rich people opportunities. If you need an operation, there's something wrong with your body in a way. Like it could even be a life-saving, life-threatening thing that you are facing. We have medical care and surgeries readily available for us and our families. Rich people privileges. If you have kids, you can expose them to books and libraries, and unlimited resources, learning online. We can take our kids to the zoo. We can take them to McDonald's. We can take them to a playground. They can be in activities and sports and music lessons. Understand, rich people things. We can afford to hire a babysitter so we can go do things without our kids, invest in our marriage or whatever else. Okay, we have rich people opportunities, every single one of us, zero exceptions. Now also, let's look at statistically for a moment. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because you can overkill this very easily. Okay, only 11% of the families in the world own a car. Think about that for a second. 11% of families in our world own a car. 4% own two cars in their family. 4% of the world owns two cars. Like, that is a valuable material possession. Do you hear that? That the majority of our world simply does not have. The very definition of the word wealth that we saw a moment ago. If you make $30,000, $37,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of all wage earners in the world. Now, if you were to ask the question, if let's say it this way. If I was to ask you the question, if you are in the top 4% of wage earners in the world, would you consider that person rich? If you didn't know what I was going at here, you would have said yes, obviously. 4% richest people in the world, okay? And you could argue right now that making $37,000 a year is having a great deal of money. Our very definition of the word rich. Now, I want to be sensitive in this because I know that there are people here today and I know that there are people watching this right now online who have significant financial challenges right now. I know some of us are overwhelmed with medical stuff. And you're just trying to figure out how am I going to simply pay our monthly bills. I know some of us are in a season where you don't have a job. And I've been working with some of us who are in that and talking and help. Like others, you're trying to find a place to live right now. We've been working with some people like that. I understand that. I know that there are single parents who are working multiple jobs to feed kids. It's difficult. But like, work with me for a moment on this. Most of us here today and watching who are going to push back and say, I'm not rich. We're going to get in our car. We're going to drive to our climate-controlled place to live, sit down in our furniture, turn on the TV, and with one hand you're going to eat lunch, and with the other hand you're going to navigate your social media account on your iPhone with an unlimited data plan. And after that food moves through your body, you're going to get up and walk to a special room in your house where you will sit down on the toilet and all of your nastiness is going to magically be flushed away from you. Rich people things. Come on, somebody. Whether you believe it or not, you are rich. Whether you feel it or not, you are rich. We have an abundance of possessions and resources, but most of the time we don't feel that, do we? Most of the time, we don't feel that. Well, let me explain why we don't feel rich. Okay, first, we don't feel rich because we constantly compare ourselves to those who have more than we do. Constantly. We could be the wealthiest 1% of people in the world, but we look around and you know what we see? Somebody who has more than us. Somebody who has a nicer house, a nicer car, a nicer iPhone. Like, it is absolutely crazy. We are content with what we have until we see someone who has more. Did you hear it? Do I need to say that again? There should have been at least like one that's right after I said that. We are content with what we have until we see someone who has more. Yeah, okay, three of us. That's great. All right. I walk down Rodeo Drive and I think I don't have a green Lamborghini. I have a 2014 Ford Explorer. My car is dumb. It's the way that this, I want that. The reality is I have a 2014 Ford Explorer. The funny thing is 5 years ago, I would have dreamed of having that vehicle. Back then, I was driving this nasty minivan, comparing myself to people who drove Ford Explorers. We don't feel rich because we constantly are looking at other people's homes that are bigger and nicer than ours. We don't feel rich because we constantly compare ourselves and what we have to other people who have more. And this leads to all sorts of rich people who are unable to see their own wealth because they can always find somebody who has more than they do. And you do that, and I do that, every single one of us, and friends, we do it often. I remember getting an iPhone a few years ago, loved it. It was amazing. It had this crazy new technology where you actually push your finger like on this little spot on it and it like unlocks the phone. And if you wanted to buy something on Amazon, you didn't have to type in your password anymore. It like had fingerprint technology. You remember that? Fingerprint technology. That was crazy amazing. It's absolutely incredible. If you wanted to do that, instead of using a password, use your fingerprint until they came out with facial recognition. Where now you don't even have to use your hands. You look at the phone and it does all of that. Like the fingerprint thing is now dumb compared to where they are now. And this is what we do, and it's horribly unhealthy, and it consumes us. It consumes us. Paul writes, teach those who are rich in this world. Friends, he's talking to us. Second reason we don't feel rich, we don't feel rich because we consume everything we get. We consume it all. Right now, as America's world statistics, we are 6% of the world's population. We consume 40% of its resources in America. 6% of the population of the world consume 40% of it. Like, we don't feel rich because we've been trained to spend everything that we get. And not only that, our culture has taught us to spend more than we get, more than we have. Do you understand how ridiculous the idea of a credit card is? Think about this for a moment. Instead of saving up for things like our grandparents did, where they would then like save up and save up and save up, and once they actually have the money to buy something, they would drive to a store, give the person the money, and pay for the thing, and they would, okay? And then they would take it. Like, we will actually pay more money than something is worth so that we can have it now. We'll pay more money. Turn to your neighbor and say, credit cards are dumb. All right, but listen, like when you begin to spend everything that you have and consume everything that comes through your hands, there's no way in the world that you are going to feel rich. Why? Because we always feel like we don't have enough. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If you consume it all, you will not be rich. Some of us here today, you are very rich. But you don't feel rich because you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and you consume everything that comes through your hands. Music team, will you please come? Now, don't miss this. This is really important right here. 2 minutes left, very important. Sometimes when we hear stuff like this, we can kind of leave the place feeling almost a sense of guilt. Like, I mean, especially when we compare ourselves to people around the world, the way that they're living, like much of which horrendous poverty, just trying to survive today, is much of the world that we know of, okay? But I wanna tell you what to feel today, and it's not guilt. Write this down if you're taking notes. Guilt rarely results in positive behavior, but great things flow from a heart of gratitude. Guilt rarely, like if you leave today with a sense of guilt because of what you have, because of all of that stuff, like because you have more than someone, the result will not be positive. But if you leave this place overwhelmed with this sense of gratitude towards the things that you do have, the job that you do have, the opportunities that you and your family have that are there for you. And like, if you leave this place with a sense of gratitude, great things come from that. Eternal things, heart change things come from that. See, listen, I have fully come to the realization that I am in fact rich, filthy rich. I have more than I need, way more than I need. I can walk into my refrigerator and I have a choice of what I want to eat. I can walk into my closet and every day I have to choose what clothes do I want to wear. And have you ever ran your fingers on all of your clothes in your whole shelf and said, I have nothing to wear? I have rich people opportunities for me and my family and my children. things that I don't think about, things that I don't even, it's just normal. Why? Because I grew up in a place that consumes 40% of the world's resources. I am rich, and though I often don't feel like I have enough, and though I often compare myself to those who have more than me, and though I often spend too much and I consume too much, like I'm just here to admit that I am rich. And over the next few weeks, like we're gonna look at what the Apostle Paul said to those who are rich. Not in the eyes of like, not in just the eyes of our culture and some of this, like, I'm trying to figure out how to say this in the right way. I wanna be good at being rich. Does that make sense? Not in the way that America thinks I should be good. I want to be good at being rich in the way that God would have that, where my heart is fully His. And I'm telling you, if like me, you can come to the conclusion that you are rich, that you genuinely have more than you need, and you genuinely have a desire for God to be first in your life, like then you are in an amazing place to experience God and to see Him move. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. A different translation says, and they will take hold of the life that is truly life. We're going to talk about that over the next couple weeks. Stand with me all over this place. Before we go, and I realize we're a few minutes later, maybe if some of you are looking at your watch, how many of you will give me 2 minutes? Okay, 2, 4, 6. That was dumb. With no one looking around, just a time of kind of reflection and privacy before we go, how many in this place would just say, I truly desire to live my life for God? With Him is what's most important. I want Him to have everything that I am and everything that I have. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. I just want to pray for us. Lord, we pray right now that You would help us, that You would teach us, that You would change things in our hearts, God. Don't fill us with guilt, God, but I pray that we would be overwhelmed with this sense of gratitude for what we have. God, help us with that, Lord, we pray. One more thing here before we're done. Who in this place would just simply say, Pastor Kyle, I've never responded to the message of Jesus. I've never given my life to Him. The Bible says that we are all sinners, that we're all separated from a perfect God. There is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Those are scriptures that say we are divided from a perfect and holy God. It's why He sent Jesus to die for you, so that you could be reconciled to Him. And you just have to put your trust in Him, put your faith in Him and what He did. Make that choice, make that decision. Repent of your sins and give that all to Him. And maybe you're here today and you would just say, Pastor Kyle, I've never done that. And I wanna do that today. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. How many would say, today is my day. I want to do that. If you're watching this online right now and this is you, you can click a button that says respond or raise a hand or whatever it says, and we want you to do that. Is there anyone here today that would say, this is me, that I want to respond to the message of Jesus today? And church, let's just do this before we're done. Can we all just say a prayer together? Every one of us, let's pray this together to help those that are responding in this way. Pray, Father God, I give You my life. Thank You for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In Your name I pray. Amen, amen. Can we put our hands together and celebrate for anyone who made that choice today for the first time? Let me just speak this over you before we're done. May you walk out these doors today with a new understanding of what you have. May you overflow with gratitude and let that and allow that to change the way that you live. Thanks so much for coming today. You are dismissed.